Welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, and Department of Veteran Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now the host of Minnesota Military Radio Hour, Tom Lyons.
Welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'm Tom Lyons. In today's show, we talk to Dr. Melissa Pelusny from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System about the readiness and resilience of the National Guard soldiers project, the Rings Project. And we take a look at Memorial Day events around the state you can attend with a special look at state veteran cemeteries with Director Dave Swantek. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
Tomorrow, our nation recognizes Memorial Day. Although Memorial Day marks the unofficial start of summer, and many will be at their cabins preparing for the summer holidays, let us not forget the true meaning of this sacred day, namely, to honor those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice so that we may enjoy the freedoms we have today. Let's remember those who have given all, those who have paid the last full measure of devotion. Those words, the last full measure of devotion, were first spoken by Abraham Lincoln during his Gettysburg Address. And yet, they still have great significance and meaning for us today. From revolutionary times to today, Americans have forged a nation dedicated to the ideals of liberty and equality for all. And through successive generations that have been tested in conflict, World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, Desert Storm, and the current global war on terrorism, it is the founding principles that have made our country strong. America's promise of freedom was and remains a beacon of hope to many. It was almost a decade ago that our country was ruthlessly attacked by enemies of freedom. To those who answered freedom's call and took up arms to defend our nation, we owe much. And to those who gave their last full measure of devotion, we owe our undying gratitude and eternal commitment to always remember. To the families of our honored fallen, there are no sufficient words of comfort. The emptiness will linger and the pain presses on. Although it is said that time heals all wounds, the wound from losing a loved one never truly heals. It only becomes more bearable with the passing of time. But let us take heed and counsel from the immortal words President Lincoln uttered almost 150 years ago. He said, "It is for us, the living, rather to be dedicated to the unfinished work which they who fought have thus far so nobly advanced." Today, let us remember our service members and how they lived their lives, and remember, amid the sorrow that one day turns to solace and strength, that those lives were not lost, but given in a struggle, dedicated to the eternal truth of freedom and the human spirit. Our country was founded on that spirit, and Americans have nurtured it through every war in every era. And so today, on this Memorial Day, may the memory of our heroic fallen be remembered by a grateful nation.
Thank you, General Nash. You can link to the Adjutant General's blog, Facebook, and Twitter feed through MinnesotaNationalGuard.org/generallyspeaking. This week, Dr. Melissa Pelusny joins us. She is a staff psychologist from the Minneapolis VA healthcare system and is the principal investigator on the Readiness and Resilience of National Guard Soldiers Project. Dr. Pelusny, welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour.
Thank you.
Doctor, I understand that you went to the University of Nevada?
Yes, I did my PhD work there.
And that now you're a staff psychologist at the Minneapolis VA healthcare
system.
Right.
I've been at the VA now for about 10 years.
10 years. And what does a staff psychologist at the VA do?
I spend part of my time providing direct services to veterans, psychotherapy services through the post-traumatic stress recovery program. And then I spend part of my time doing research in the area of PTSD and resilience in returning veterans.
Which brings us to the Rings Project, the Readiness and Resilience in National Guard Soldiers Project, which you were the principal investigator on. And it was, I understand the report was released in January 2010. Can you tell me when this started and what was the, what were the goals and what does it involve?
Yeah, the Rings study has really involved a very rare collaboration between the Minnesota National Guard and our team of researchers at the VA and also at the University of Minnesota. And back in 2006, our team traveled down to Camp Shelby, Mississippi, where the 1st Brigade Combat Team from the 34th Infantry Division was preparing to deploy for Iraq. And while we were there, we surveyed over 500 soldiers and asked them a lot of questions about their experiences, their life experiences, their current situation, concerns that they were having, their personality. And we just learned a lot about them before they deployed to Iraq. And our hope was that we would be able to try to understand what are the factors that help some soldiers to stay resilient, to stay strong over the course of a deployment. We know that combat exposure can have very serious impacts on soldiers when they return. And we were trying to understand what are things that we might be able to target to help soldiers stay resilient.
And of course, no one knew that this would turn out to be the longest deployment in history.
Exactly. At that time, we thought that, you know, it was March. We thought that the troops would be back in March the following year. And it really was extended, you know, 4 months beyond what they were expecting.
So these initial interviews were to find out the status of the troops before they left?
Exactly. Kind of a baseline. How were troops doing in terms of their mental health and their functioning? But also to gather a lot of information about their history and about their experiences that that would provide kind of an accurate measure of how they perceived their life to be before they were in the combat zone.
So these 500 soldiers, I assume, were volunteers.
Yes. All the soldiers volunteered and consented to be in the project, and then we've been able to continue to follow up with them after they returned back from Iraq.
Now, did you have any contact with them while they were gone?
We did. We were able to conduct a study in Iraq where we surveyed over 2,600 soldiers there, and many of those were participants in the Ring study as well. But the main focus of the Ring study has been really following them up over the last 3 years. So when soldiers first got back, about 3 months after they got back, we surveyed them again to check in, how were they doing? And then a year later, and then 2 years later.
Now, what were your expectations and goals on the way into this study?
Yeah, our goal was we really wanted to be able to identify what are factors that help us to understand who is at risk for developing PTSD and who goes on after a combat deployment, maybe is exposed to combat but doesn't develop post-traumatic stress disorder or PTSD. And we wanted to be able to use that information to really think about what can we learn from resilient soldiers to help prevent PTSD, to be able to learn how to intervene early to help soldiers who might be struggling.
We're speaking with Dr. Melissa Pelusny, the principal investigator on the Readiness and Resilience in National Guard Soldiers Project on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour, right here on News Talk 100.3 FM. Now, Doctor, once they came back, then you were able to interview most of these soldiers again?
Right. The vast majority of soldiers we were able to follow up. In fact, over 80% of the participants from the original study continued to participate with us. And we've followed them now over 3 years and have been trying to learn about how soldiers are doing now and what factors might predict their adjustment after they return from a combat situation.
So it sounds like you gathered a lot of data, a lot of information, both before and after.
We have.
And it must have taken you a while to sift through all of that, too.
We've been working very hard at it, and I think we're finally at a place where we have been able to answer some of the questions, at least, that we originally had.
Well, I'm fascinated by what you've done, but, Doctor, we have to take a short break.
Okay.
So hopefully when we come back, we can find out what you learned from this Ring study. We'll continue our conversation with Dr. Melissa Pelusny after a short break. This is the Minnesota Military Radio Hour on News Talk 100.3 FM. Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. Today we're talking to Dr. Melissa Pelusny, who is a staff psychologist for the Minneapolis VA healthcare system and the principal investigator on the Readiness and Resilience in National Guard Soldiers Project, which was a project to study the 1st Brigade Combat Team, 34th Red Bull Infantry Division, when they deployed to Iraq a few years ago. Now, Doctor, you've told me all the information you gathered before they went, a little bit while they were gone, interviewed them when they came back, a lot of information.
Mm-hmm.
What did you learn?
Well, you know, one of the things that we learned from the Ring study is that military service members, the National Guard soldiers in the 1st Brigade, really it can respond to war zone experiences in a range of different ways. So when soldiers first come back from a combat situation, some might feel nervous, keyed up. They might be having what we call combat stress reactions. So they might be having thoughts about their combat experiences when they don't want to. They might feel like they're sometimes back in that situation. And for most soldiers, those are sort of normal reactions that on their own, over time, naturally, they recover from. A small percentage of soldiers continue to experience these combat stress reactions, and for some, they can persist and become post-traumatic stress disorder or PTSD. And what we found in the RING study was about 7% of soldiers developed PTSD when they returned back, which the flip side of that is the vast majority did not. And I think that's really important to highlight that while a small group developed PTSD, and certainly we're very concerned about that group because PTSD can be a very devastating problem, the majority of soldiers returned and went on to not develop PTSD or other kinds of mental health problems. So,
were you able to determine if there were any predictors?
Yeah. You know, we gathered all this information from soldiers before they deployed, asked them all kinds of things about their history and their experiences, and we found that, you know, as we expected, how much combat a soldier saw in Iraq certainly predicted PTSD, and we know that from other research, but beyond that, we were able to identify some factors that were present before the soldiers even deployed that actually predicted their risk for PTSD 22 months later. And you know, one of the things that we found is how well prepared soldiers felt they were for the deployment. Did they feel like they understood what their mission was, what their duties would be? How well prepared they felt was a predictor of PTSD.
Physically, yeah. Or mentally, or overall?
Well, mentally, but also in terms of skill. Did they, you know how to do their job? But also, did they have a good expectation, a sense of an expectation of what this mission would be about for them?
And confidence, you know, in their abilities,
exactly.
and understanding of the mission.
Exactly. So that was an important predictor. Also, how much life stress the soldier had before they deployed. So how many stressors they had in their life. That was a predictor later of PTSD.
So in their family life or in their business life?
In all areas of their life. Had they been exposed to, you know, a job loss or a divorce, or had they had a previous traumatic experience, those kinds of things predicted later PTSD. But the thing that we found that was most interesting was how concerned and worried soldiers were before they deployed about their family back home and how the deployment would affect their family, their life, how it would disrupt things back home. That predicted PTSD. And so we were really curious about that.
That's good. Yeah. That goes back to the questions we've learned about when you ask a soldier, what can we do to help when they're deployed? The answer is help take care of my family.
Yeah. So I think it's these are really interesting findings that even before soldiers deploy, we could identify some of these important predictors. Of course, when soldiers got back, how much stress they were on, how much social support they felt like they had, did they feel like they were supported by them, their family, their community? That also was an important predictor of who developed PTSD and who did not.
Now, when you publish this report in January, who gets to see it? Who is learning from this, benefiting?
Well, this is something that is shared with other colleagues who are doing work in this field, other National Guard units, the military in general, the VA, all folks who are working to try to help soldiers and military families will have access to these findings, and hopefully that will lead them to do the work needed to support soldiers and families.
I would guess the leadership of the Minnesota National Guard.
Absolutely. We've been, throughout the whole process, we've been having regular briefings with the National Guard leadership, kind of advising them about what the findings are of the study, even before we published it. So they have had the opportunity to get this information. And, we think that it has, provided them with information that helps them to think about what they can do to help soldiers stay strong.
Do it better and get them better prepared.
Yeah.
Now, were there any differences in your report between how men and women reacted to the stress of going to war?
Yeah, it was interesting. Before soldiers deployed, we looked at gender differences, and there were very, very few. Men and women looked very similar before the deployment in terms of their mental health functioning before they deployed, their concerns. But after women and men returned from the deployment, we found that the rate of PTSD was almost double in women than it was in men. So 14% of women versus about 6% of men had developed PTSD. And we're really cautious about this whole finding because it's a very small sample of women. And so we don't want to make too much of this. I mean,
I want to ask why, and I'm waiting.
You really want to have a large sample to be able to generalize and say that this says something about women's experiences in Iraq. But, we were very concerned to see that, and we're not quite sure why that is. And that's one of the things that we're working on to try to understand what might be the unique experiences for women compared to men in their combat experiences.
Now, Doctor, the 1st Brigade Combat Team is deploying again.
Yes.
And I understand you're going to conduct a RINGS 2 study?
Right. We have been funded by the Department of Veterans Affairs to conduct another longitudinal study of soldiers and their family members. So just like in the first RINGS study where we had an opportunity to survey soldiers before they deployed to Iraq and then follow them up afterwards, this study now involves also including family members. We want to kind of build on what we've learned about how important family members are to soldiers and to really understand how family members might impact this process of resilience that we're seeing in soldiers. So are there stresses that family members experience? We know there are across the deployment cycle, but how does that impact the soldier? And how does the family help to support soldiers? So our goal is to really understand what do we need to do to help families stay strong.
So you broaden the focus.
Exactly.
Now, are you going to be interviewing the family members while they're gone?
Right. We've just completed data collection from a very large group of families and soldiers. We've really been overwhelmed by the response of soldiers and families to the project. Over 1,800 soldiers have participated already in the pre-deployment survey, and over 1,000 spouses and partners of those soldiers have also participated.
So have your expectations or goals changed with RINGS 2?
I think with this study, we expect that we will continue to see strong resilience in soldiers as they return from deployment. But I think the real key issue is trying to understand how is the family impacting that process, and how is what are the needs in the family of the family over that course of the deployment? And so that's the key question that this study will focus on.
Doctor, it sounds like the first study has given us some pretty interesting information on how to help support the troops and the families, and the second one's going to hopefully come up with more information.
Right.
And if we share that with the Yellow Ribbon programs, should help the communities to help the families and take some stress off the troops as well.
That's our goal.
Doctor, the best of luck to you in the second one. It sounds like some really important work you're doing.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. That was Dr. Melissa Pelusny, a staff psychologist from the Minneapolis VA healthcare system and the principal investigator on the Readiness and Resilience in National Guard Soldiers Project. We have links to more information on Facebook and at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Each week, we feature Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, a comprehensive program that connects service members and their families with community support, training, services, and resources. Let's visit this week's Support Our Troops Showcase, a story where someone just like you and I went out of their way to make a difference in the life of a service member or military family. Marty LeBrie's first organized ride was in 2008. 2 years later, 66 motorcycles were lined up in front of the Minnesota Correctional Facility in Lionel Lakes. It was a rainy day, unfit for riding, but the group persevered through the day they wouldn't forget. Halfway through the ride, the motorcycles pulled up to the house of a young couple. The husband was set to deploy to Iraq in a week, and the couple was shocked when Marty presented the wife with a $250 gift card to pay for groceries. As a Gulf War veteran, the gesture was Marty's way of returning the favor when his own family was supported during his deployment. Now in its fourth year, Two Wheels, Four Heroes will again be riding on June 4th. Marty expects over 100 riders to attend and show that service members are still cared for and thought of. With no registration fee for the ride, individuals can give as much or as little as they'd like. This year, Marty will donate all the proceeds to the Minneapolis Veterans Affairs Medical Center's Polytrauma Center and to the Fisher House. Thank you to Marty LeBrie and Two Wheels for Heroes for showcasing how Minnesotans strive to go beyond the yellow ribbon. Beyond the Yellow Ribbon connects service members and their families with organizations, agencies, companies, community support, training, services, and resources to bring our service members all the way home.
Welcome back
to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. Thanks for joining us. I'm Tom Lyons.
Make a difference in the life of a service member or military family.
A weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs.
Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelton.
Take a look at Memorial Day events around the state. That's right here on News Talk 100.3 FM. This is the Minnesota Military Radio Hour.
Veterans and military who have given their lives in the service of this country. No greater sacrifice could ever be asked of an individual. The service of these veterans has impacted the life of every single citizen in this great nation. It is for that sacrifice that I salute our fallen comrades. There is no observance in America more somber than Memorial Day. In events held across America this Memorial Day, people will gather in small towns and big cities for one purpose: to remember our war dead, pay homage to their sacrifice and courage, and to recognize the selflessness of military service. Across the generations and across the centuries, Americans have answered the call to duty, and many paid the ultimate price. I can't even begin to contemplate the world today had men and women we honor on Memorial Day not stood fast against our enemies throughout history. The newest generation of American veterans is engaged in a struggle no less critical to history than those of our predecessors. Every day, young men and women are returning from Iraq and Afghanistan. Most come home to joyous reunions with loved ones. Others come home with the visible and invisible wounds of armed conflict, while still others return in solemn, eternal repose beneath a draped American flag. I am incredibly proud of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and our Veterans Service Organization partners for the service they provide to this community of veterans. The value and importance of their work is evident every day in the faces of the veterans we serve.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelton. You can find out more about Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs programs by calling 1-888-LINK-VET or online at minnesotaveteran.org. This week, David Swantek joins us. He's the director of the Minnesota State Veterans Cemetery near Camp Ripley. Mr. Swantek, welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Nice to have you back again. Sir, when I think of military and cemeteries, I think of Fort Snelling here in Minneapolis. And, of course, you work at the Minnesota State Veterans Cemetery. Can you tell me what's the difference in the organizations?
Well, not a whole lot of difference other than who pays the bills. State Cemetery here in Little Falls is run by the state of Minnesota, and, of course, Fort Snelling National Cemetery is run by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs, and it's interesting you say that's what you think of because, you know, I think the folks and veterans in our communities up here in central Minnesota probably think of our facility here in Little Falls first. So, you know, it's important work that we do out here every day, and since we opened in 1994, this little cemetery's provided burial for almost 4,000 veterans and their family members, and we continue to provide this honorable final tribute to veterans in Minnesota, specifically in central Minnesota, more and more every year. So it's honorable work that we do up here, and you know, all Minnesotans can be proud of what we have located at our state cemetery in Little Falls.
Mr. Swantek, can you tell me, how did you come to be the director of the Minnesota State Veterans Cemetery in Little Falls?
Well, I grew up out in the state of Wyoming, and I happened to take a summer job out there at the State Veterans Cemetery in Casper when I was going to college. And that summer job ultimately turned into a full-time job out there in Wyoming, and then a few years later, an announcement came in the mail, and the state of Minnesota was looking for a full-time state-employed cemetery director for a new cemetery to be located in Little Falls. And so I think it was kind of a stroke of luck that I saw that announcement. I'm not sure if my boss at the time would have even known I was interested in moving from the West to the Midwest, but I'm glad I saw it, and, you know, here 15 years later, it's been a very rewarding career. I can't think of a better opportunity to work with and serve veterans.
Mr. Swantek, we're just about at Memorial Day. That'll be tomorrow. And when I think of the difference between Fort Snelling and the Minnesota State Veterans Cemetery, I think of convenience for the families to go visit the graves of fallen loved ones. And I'm sure that that's...
It really is convenience. And, you know, not only Minnesota, but the other states across the country that operate state veterans cemeteries, really those cemeteries are in existence to kind of fill in the gaps, if you will, of areas that aren't adequately served by a national cemetery. And by adequately served, we really are talking about, you know, what's the distance that a family has to drive to seek that opportunity for burial in a veteran cemetery. And of course, with most national cemeteries being in major metropolitan areas, just as in the Twin Cities, you know, Little Falls provides, as well as other state cemeteries, provides access to the same benefit closer to an individual's home. We find that veterans typically, if they have to travel a distance greater than 60 to 75 miles, they're more likely going to choose a local option, either maybe a church cemetery or a city cemetery. So being able to fill in those gaps is important and provides veterans an opportunity to take advantage of a benefit that they've been promised.
We're speaking with David Swantek, the director of the State Veterans Cemetery in Little Falls, Minnesota, on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour here on News Talk 100.3 FM. Mr. Swantek, I understand that you're also overseeing the proposed construction of several new state cemeteries, and I would guess that you want to spread those out around the state to make it convenient for the families, just as we've discussed.
Yeah, exactly. The state legislature and former Governor Plenty took it on as an initiative to provide this service in other locations in Minnesota. We really started looking at this back in 2007, and since that time we've been actively working in getting a federal grant application for stands now three different areas that we're looking at. We're looking in southeast Minnesota, south of Rochester. We're looking in southwest Minnesota down in the Redwood Falls area, and then also up in northeast Minnesota in the Duluth area. And again, being able to construct a facility, a state veteran cemetery, is going to provide thousands of veterans this opportunity to seek burial as a benefit in a state veteran cemetery. We anticipate that those three cemeteries, once operational, will expand that benefit to bring nearly 80,000 veterans within that 75-mile radius that we talked about from their home and offer them that benefit of burial. So we're excited to expand on the success that we've had here in Little Falls, and we're honored that the legislature and our former governor and current governor see the good work that's been done out here and the importance of this benefit to our veteran community.
Mr. Swantek, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I'd like to talk to you about your annual memorial service in Little Falls. We'll continue with our conversation with David Swantek after a short break. This is the Minnesota Military Radio Hour on News Talk 100.3 FM. Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. Today we're talking to David Swantek, the director of the Minnesota State Veterans Cemetery near Camp Ripley. Mr. Swantek, can you tell us about the event at the State Cemetery for Memorial Day?
Sure. We, of course, the last several years, really since our first observance of Memorial Day, we've done our ceremony on Sunday. And it's impressive the crowds that we get here at the cemetery. We're probably averaging 1,200 to 1,500 people come to our ceremony on Sunday. And this year we're excited. We feel like we have another great program planned. Our typical program kicks off at 1:30. with a 30-minute instrumental band concert by the Richfield Symphonic Band. They do a great job of playing some patriotic music that really a lot of the folks that attend our service really enjoy, and it's kind of a nice start to our program that day. And then about 2 o'clock, we have a parade of flags, which we get a lot of our area veteran service organizations bring their colors, and it's impressive when they kind of march in to start the program, and there's just a lot of organizational colors along with American flags. And this year we have our new commissioner, General Shelido, that's going to be our guest speaker. This will be his first official visit to the cemetery as our commissioner. He's been here many times as the adjutant general, but we're looking forward to having him address our crowd. We also have a helmet and rifle ceremony that the Korean War veterans do. This year we're going to have state commanders from both the VFW and the DAV are going to be in attendance. And also this year, an exciting addition to our program. We commissioned an art project, an auxiliary organization that we have for the cemetery, commissioned an art project that's going to, over the next 4 years, will consist of 5 8-foot by 10-foot oil paintings, each depicting the 5 branches of the military. And the first painting is not yet complete, but it will be displayed in its current state of completion during that program. And I tell you, an 8-foot by 10-foot oil painting to stand in front of that is pretty impressive. So I'm excited for the folks that get an opportunity to come out here to view that. I think people are going to really further understand what this project's all about, and to be able to do that as part of our annual service this year is pretty special.
Sounds like a great Memorial Day program. Mr. Swantek, where can listeners go for more information about the Minnesota State Veterans Cemeteries?
You can find information on the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs website, which is www.mdva.state.mn.us. The cemetery also can be reached by telephone at 320-616-2527, and we'd be happy to answer any questions that listeners may have regarding the State Veterans Cemetery in Little Falls, or even in regards to our future plans for new cemeteries across the state.
All right, sir. You're doing a great job. Keep it up, and thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
That was David Swantek, the director of the Minnesota State Veterans Cemetery. We have links to more information on Facebook and at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. There'll be many, many events on Memorial Day, and of course, the big one in the Twin Cities will be at the Fort Snelling National Cemetery, which will be Monday, May 30th, starting at 10 a.m. And then there are events all over the state and all over the metro area. There'll be one at the St. Cloud VA Health System on Memorial Day parade program and placing of wreaths at 10:30 a.m. on Memorial Day, and at 2 p.m. there'll be a Memorial Day program, of course, at the Minnesota State Veterans Ceremony. There are other programs, and you can check the Sunday paper and find them, but Apple Valley has a Memorial Day event, Chanhassen, Eagan, Excelsior, the American Legion Post hold a program out there. Forest Lake will have an annual Memorial Day 9 a.m. service at the Lakeside Memorial Park in downtown Forest Lake. Hastings, at the Minnesota Veterans Home in Hastings, will have Memorial Day observances that will begin with a flag ceremony at the Veterans Home at 9 a.m., followed by a 10 a.m. program. Lakewood Cemetery, 10:30. The Minnesota Veterans Home in Minneapolis have a Memorial Day program held at 2 p.m. North St. Paul, there will be a program that start at 9 a.m. at St. Mary's Old Cemetery. Shakopee at the Landing in Shakopee will be having a Civil War events day Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. And St. Louis Park at the Veterans Memorial Amphitheater, located in Wolf Park, there's a service at 11 a.m. and we'll have more on that later. Joining us now is one of our producers. Our civilian producer is Adam Tilsner. He's doing a great job, and he's going to help us with the program on Memorial Day. But right now in the studio, I have our award-winning military producer, Sergeant Ben Houtkooper. And Sergeant Ben, you've got a list of some Memorial Day deployments.
Absolutely, yes. The 1st Brigade Combat Team of the 34th Infantry Division is heading out the door to their mission in the Middle East. And throughout Minnesota, in all the smaller and larger communities, there's going to be send-offs. Just looking at the 30th, we have one in Mankato, Pipestone, Laverne, Rochester, 31st, West St. Paul, Winona, Albert Lea, Camp Ripley, and Bloomington on the 3rd. So there are plenty of events around the state for people to go and show their support.
Sergeant Houtkooper, you've been deployed. How important is it for people to come out and say goodbye at these ceremonies?
I would say it really does lift your spirits as you're heading out the door, because you're nervous about your family, you're nervous about what you're leaving behind, making sure that everything's right, and it's great to see the community come together and show their support.
Well, that's great. And Sergeant Houtkooper, we've got a special event happening on Memorial Day right here in the studio.
We do, yeah. 3 hours live Memorial Day morning.
Courtesy of KTLK 100.3 FM, management and ownership of this station is giving us the morning program from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Absolutely.
And we're going to have recently retired Brigadier General Joe Kelly in here as a co-host for those 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got quite a lineup on the schedule, don't we?
We do, yes. We have everyone from the Secretary of State to Governor Mark Dayton, the Commander-in-Chief of the Minnesota National Guard, on.
He will be. The Secretary of State will join us in the 6 o'clock hour.
Mm-hmm. Talking about Civil War and all the events that he has planned coming up.
Events around the state. And then we're going to have the Adjutant General, the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
Roger that.
He's going to come on, and you're going to sit at attention.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Sit at attention behind the soundproof glass.
And he'll have some interesting things to tell us about Memorial Day. And of course, he's been the Adjutant General since November of last year, and he's been a pretty busy guy with all these deployments and everything going on, hasn't he?
Absolutely.
And a little later in the show, we'll have the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veteran Affairs on, Larry Shelato, who, of course, was the former Adjutant General. And we'll find out how busy he's been since he took over, because he was recently appointed by the governor as the commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. That's quite a job, isn't it?
I would imagine, yeah. And we're catching him, I'm sure, in between events. It's I can't imagine that Memorial Day is...
He'll squeeze us in.
Yeah.
And then one of our other guests is Doug Bly, the captain of the Minnesota Patriot Guard.
Nothing but respect for those guys.
And, of course, they're everywhere, aren't they?
Absolutely.
530 missions last year, departure ceremonies, welcome home, funerals. That's quite an organization.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about some other events coming up and some other things people are doing around the state to help raise some money to support the troops and their families. I'm looking forward to that show, and I'm sure that you and Adam have been working hard to get everything ready, and we'll have a few clips from some pretty interesting interviews in the past, too.
Absolutely. Going back to... a few of the best of from our show.
That'll all be tomorrow morning from 6 to 9 a.m. here on News Talk 100.3 FM. I'd like to thank you for listening to this edition of the Minnesota Military Radio Hour, and I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Dr. Melissa Pelusny from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, David Swantek from the Minnesota State Veterans Cemetery, Commissioner Larry Shelato of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash, and, of course, my military producer, Sergeant Ben Houtkooper. Thanks for joining us in the studio. In addition to tomorrow's Memorial Day show live on 100.3 FM, please join us next Sunday as we talk to Trent Reedy, a local soldier-turned-author, about his new book, Dust in the Wind. And we'll have Doug Bly, Captain of the Minnesota Patriot Guard, back to talk about their missions of honor for our service members, and also their big fundraising event coming up in June. That's next Sunday morning at 7, right here on News Talk 100.3 FM. If you have questions for our mailbag or want to check out the podcast of today's show and all our shows, visit us on Facebook and at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've You've been listening to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour with host Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm located in Minneapolis. He's also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force. We hope you found this program to be informative and entertaining. This has been a production of KTLK, Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veteran Affairs. Podcasts of this program are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Thanks for listening.